It's time for Inside Sports Medicine on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310 The Ticket with your host, Dr. Tio Soriao, orthopedic surgeon and medical director of Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group. Get your sports medicine questions ready and call 888-787-1310.
Dr. Tio Soriao. And that was very insightful.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. The gang's here, live in the studio. 45 minutes left. So we want to talk about the Klay Thompson injury. We're going to go to the phones in just a half a second. He tore his ACL last year, was in the process of coming back, and he ruptured the Achilles tendon on the other leg. So before we elaborate, let's go to Keith. Keith from Wiley, what's your comment?
Hey, man. How are y'all doing today?
Doing great.
So with his, you know, you just kind of recapped it, but how do you think this is going to affect him mentally? Because we all know that, you know, medical is, you know, the surgeons are great. You know, physically, he's going to come back okay from this. But how do you think it's going to affect him mentally, missing these two seasons and having an injury on his on both legs now? That's all, guys. Thank you.
Yeah.
What a great question.
Oh, to do that. This is a phenomenal question. So, first,
great question.
Great question. And we talked about this before. Listen, the psychology of healing, the psychology of return to play, I am fascinated by. I mean, just real quick, I referred a patient to Dr. Manning this past week, and this guy's back looks horrible. I mean, his back looks horrible. But if you ask him how much pain he's in, he's like, I'm fine. He's a runner. He does all this stuff, right? So, I mean, like this, there's obviously some sort of mental aspect. There's more than just what we see. But I say all that to say, look, I've ruptured my Achilles back in 2013, and basketball was my sport. I loved it. And I think it's going to be very difficult, man. I think the doctors are going to do what they do. They've got the best doctors on it, I'm sure. They're gonna you know, put the pieces back together, and he'll do the rehab. Now, I will say this, and Doc told me this, and it's been true because he did my Achilles, Soriao. He's never going to get the
explosion,
the robust calf muscle back. I mean, he'll be able to move and stuff on the court, but he may lack some explosion. But yes, man, that mental game to be able to return to play and you know, I mean, this is 2 years in a row now. So not only did he have to mentally get over the ACL, which hopefully at this point he had, you know, kind of got that, but now with the Achilles, it's this ends up being a lot. And the Achilles, the way I see it, and I think the way most of us who are on the radio right now see it, the Achilles is a pivotal injury because it says, man, I've got so much wear and tear on my body that I've, you know, you really got to be careful. I've never really seen anybody who's gotten an Achilles rupture who played professional basketball who continued to ascend in their career, right? They've either kind of stayed there and then over time either kind of, but it's usually kind of that one injury that, you know, like, ooh, he's got mileage and may have other stuff kind of brewing that continues to go. But to get back to the question, man, the mental aspect is huge. And I wish the best for him. I know this is tough because, dude, I'll be real. Like, when I ruptured my Achilles, I cried, not because it hurt, but I was like, dude, like my little recreational basketball career is, you know, might be over. So, yeah.
I'm going to give Keith from Wiley props for asking the question because it really is a great question. And I always tell my patients, and I don't know if Scott has the same discussion, the mental aspects of coming back from an injury is something that is very individual, and I try to help, but I'm not qualified to help. But that mental aspect, the the making the same move that ruptured it the first time aspect,
mm-hmm.
and What makes this such a great question, and I don't know if Keith meant it this way, but now both of his lower extremities are affected.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I tore my right ACL first, and now my left was my good leg.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I favored it a little bit by, you know, usually going that direction more often. Now you've injured both lower extremities. You've got an Achilles on one leg. You've mm-hmm. got an ACL on the other. Which is your good leg?
Yeah.
Are you going to jump off of one, not the other?
That's right.
You know, in terms of the mental situation, the one that I can't believe people can come back from are those horrendous open tibia fractures that the couple basketball players over the last 10 years have gotten.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, you're doing the same move the same way, and once it, you know, it snapped.
Yeah.
It's just nasty.
Well, it's I'm sure he's going to have help.
Yeah.
Just to talk a little bit about the Achilles. ACL to me is just a freak injury. The ACL, we've never been shown to have mileage. You know, you can't have mileage on your ACL. It's either adequate size or not adequate size. And you have contact ACL injuries, which means a 300-pounder fell on your knee, or non-contact, which is the vast majority. And, you know, I'm putting forth the concept of the insufficient ACL, not the worn ACL, but on the Achilles, it is a mileage injury.
Clearly a mileage injury.
You know, every once in a while you'll see it in an 18-year-old, but the vast majority of Achilles injuries are athletes in their 30s. And they have, you know, look at Kobe. Mm-hmm. I did Spud Webb. I did, Rolando Blackman. All these guys are all in their 30s. And the one thing they all have in common is it is a mileage injury. Well, I think Klay Thompson is exactly the same thing. I don't know how old he is, but I would guess that he's been around for a while. He may be in his 30s.
Yeah, decent veteran, yeah.
Yeah. But now I wonder, what's his other Achilles look like?
Oh, yeah, man.
So so you've got an ACL on one side, an Achilles on the other side. Oh, my gosh. I'm freaking out just thinking about it.
I want you to think about every athlete that you know that has had an Achilles rupture in the National Basketball League. Yeah, he's early 30s, Corey. Exactly. In the National Basketball League, one of the first ones comes to mind, I remember Chauncey Billups.
Yep.
Point guard. And, I mean, his game changed afterwards. I mean, he had to. And, you know, he wasn't the same Chauncey. He's got to be a little more, you know, wily and crafty on the court, but he never continued to ascend, right? You look at, you look at Kobe. You know, Kobe had his Achilles rupture, and then after that, it was kind of like then meniscus, then the next thing, and then,
mileage.
He just kind of limped along, you know, through the rest of his career. Not that he didn't have flashes of brilliance still, but like to continue to ascend. Now, his saving grace is that he's a shooter.
Yeah, he's got a different game.
In that he's not this explosive guy. If this was LeBron, it'd be detrimental to the way he plays.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a great shooter. I think that's going to help him. He was a great on-ball defender. That might be the one thing that might slow him down a little bit. But, if he stays behind a three-point line and continues to play that game, he'll probably have a nice, you know, long career.
Yeah. Tough situation. Seems like he's one of the good guys. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel really bad for him, but he'll make it. He'll make it.
Yeah, all I right. do think he'll make it.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Don. Don, what's up?
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice to see you're supporting the Ivy League here today. A couple of weeks ago, you commented, I think, that sometimes inflammation is necessary for healing under some circumstances. What are those circumstances? Are there times we should not be icing something or not taking the NSAIDs?
What a great question. And Don, I appreciate the fact that you listen and you listen intently. So inflammation is necessary as part of healing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a very important aspect of healing. Pretty much if you cut your finger, there's inflammation that starts the healing process. And if you have surgery, there's inflammation that starts the healing process. There are injuries, however, where too much inflammation becomes worse than the injury. You know, and I think the reference that we used a couple of weeks ago was plantar fasciitis. So with a plantar fascia injury, you tear a couple of fibers, inflammatory tissue comes in to try to heal it. Inflammatory tissue is worse than the torn fibers, mm-hmm. and now the inflammation is worse than the disease. So the question is there a situation where you shouldn't take anti-inflammatories? I don't know the answer
or
to that.
Or ice.
Ice is a great anti-inflammatory as well because it slows down the process.
Are there any surgical procedures in sports medicine where you shouldn't use anti-inflammatories in the post-surgical recovery phase?
Let me flip that question, Scott, because I know you guys in the spine world, when you do fusions, you don't do anti-inflammatories because you want the fusion to heal. Is that still a thing?
Correct. So that's what I was going to say. So in spine, the one operation that we do where anti-inflammatories shouldn't be used in the early post-operative period, some people say 2 weeks, some people say 6 weeks, some people say 3 months, there's no agreement on it, is a spinal fusion. So there is for our field. That's why I was asking if there's anything in general sports medicine or orthopedics.
Scott, Brad, is there a reason not to take an anti-inflammatory and come back to me after you're done?
Yeah, no, I can't think of anything. I think about Don's question in terms of the acute injury. You know, part I don't see anything in an acute injury that within the first 72 hours you wouldn't put ice on.
Is a great anti-inflammatory.
I'm trying to rack my brain in terms of something that I wouldn't, you know, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Doc. You know, there are some things that the body kind of over adjusts and compensates for.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever done a study to look how many millimeters deep to the skin the cooling effect of ice penetrates?
I think the study has been done, and I'm not
Where's the encyclopedia? Where's Dr. Mayer?
I know, right?
Yeah, Mayer's probably going to answer that.
Mayer's, he would know.
Mayer's coaching, calling some Omahas.
I want to say that. I don't know. I can't. But I don't typically use anti-inflammatories in the first 48 hours because they're blood thinners. Most anti-inflammatories, whether it's an aspirin or an Advil or an Aleve, they all have a blood thinning effect. So if you have an acute trauma, you sprained your ankle, for example, there's going to be bleeding and bruising. And I don't like the anti-inflammatories because they make it bleed more.
What about Celebrex?
I have actually used Celebrex in the immediate post-op. Not just post-op, but if one of my professional basketball players had an acute ankle injury, I would not give Advil, Aleve, Naprosyn, et cetera, but I would give two Celebrex.
So for the listeners and viewers out there, Celebrex is one of the anti-inflammatories that is also not a blood thinner. So that's why we can use it in that circumstance.
But it's rare. That's one of the rare ones. Don, you raised a really good question, and I don't know if I've answered it.
Well, you have. I think you said don't take the pills within 48 hours of hurting yourself. Hey, I got another quick question for you. Sometimes you guys mention that you've seen somebody in clinic over the week. What do you mean by your clinic? Is that where you just kind of open the doors and let anybody in to work on a problem?
Anybody that's got a credit card.
Yeah. Clinic is the office.
The office.
So clinic is the office. So if we see somebody in the office, we call it the clinic. That's an old term, I guess.
It was like Parkland days.
Yeah.
Today's a clinic day.
Thanks, Don. Appreciate it.
And that was a kind of a walk-in kind of thing.
Yeah. All right, quick little break, then we're going to go back to the phones. 888-787-1310. This is Inside Sports Medicine. The whole gang is here live, episode number 7/773 on Sports Radio 96.7, 1310, The Ticket.